Thanks for joining us here at New Song Church, where we're helping people to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. If you have any questions at all, or just want to learn more about us as a church, you can go to mynsc.org/happenings. It's the best way to stay connected with us throughout the week. And now, check out this week's sermon.
So, are you guys ready to study God's Word today in PJ vernacular? All right. Let's go ahead and get started. About approximately a year ago, maybe a little longer than that, I was listening to a podcast of a gentleman who happens to be one of Pastor Justin's mentors, and that is Larry Stockstill, Pastor Larry Stockstill. And I'll tell you what, if you've never listened to him, if you've never heard him or anything else like that, what a great man of God. He has such insight and everything. Well, he was going through a message on legacy when I was listening to him, and I was taking notes and everything else. And a couple weeks ago, when Pastor Justin asked me to speak here this morning, I was praying and wondering what am I supposed to speak on, Lord? Let me know. And he brought to mind this lesson on legacy that Pastor Larry came up with, except he wanted me to change it. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm gonna. So I took what I learned from Pastor Larry and I'm modifying it a little bit by what I believe the Holy Spirit's given me for each and every one of us today. And what that is as you can see behind us, is discipleship is equal to legacy. Pastor Justin, the last couple of weeks, has been talking about discipleship, how that is when I say our, I'm talking about our family here at New Song. Our New Song Church's biggest need right now is discipleship, okay? We firmly believe, we have been praying rather heavily during our 21 days of prayer. We have been praying that God would lead, would raise up leaders, that God would raise up those that are called to take on discipleship. And we firmly believe, I mean, the last couple weeks, PJ asked if there was anybody that was feeling called to be a leader, that you need to take that step of faith and let God provide. And a bunch of you did, so congratulations. Thank you. Thank you. We're coming up on our fall session of small groups, and we have a whole bunch of new and exciting small groups and leaders that are raring to go and everything else, because this is a period, we firmly believe that this is a period of discipleship that God has us in as a church, okay? And what does that look like? Well, what is discipleship? What is legacy? Well, it may not be exactly what you think it is or what you've heard it is from the world around us. So I want to give you a little bit of clarification into discipleship and legacy, all right? So first off, you know, we've got discipleship is equal to legacy, all right? So if you're worried about leaving a legacy for future generations, okay, if you're worried about that, if you're thinking about that, which every one of us should be, then maybe you need to start thinking about discipleship, okay? Your first blank on your notes today, discipleship is a lifestyle. Discipleship is a lifestyle. Okay, so if you are called to be a mentor, you're called into a certain lifestyle. We're going to read in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. You all should be very familiar with this section of Scripture. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This was Jesus talking to his disciples. This was his last commandment that he gave them when he was still here on earth. His disciples had just had 3 years of living with Jesus, of being around him, of being with him morning, noon, night, eating with him, sleeping in the fields, traveling with him from place to place, listening to his teaching to the people all around him. They were living life with Jesus. They were his disciples. They were like sponges soaking up everything that he had for them, everything that he wanted to impart into them was more than just the words that he said, but it was everything that he did, okay? They were watching him. That's why I say discipleship is a lifestyle, okay? It's a lifestyle. Discipleship is not just a lecture. It's not just a lesson, okay? I can't bring somebody up here and say, okay, here are three hot topics that I want you to take down. Take these down real quick and boom, 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 and say, okay, now you are discipled, go. Doesn't work that way. Okay, it doesn't work that way. All right? It's, like I said, it's more of living together. It's doing life together. It's a relationship. Okay, that's what discipleship is. It's a relationship. It's like a son and a father. Okay, it's passing on those traits that you want to be passed on. Larry Stockstill, as I said, he put it this way when he was asked, what is a legacy? He said that a legacy is something handed down, passed on to the next generation. It has to do with mentoring, the intentional shaping of another person to carry your values and your vision after you are gone. Okay, that doesn't sound like a lesson or a lecture or anything else like that. That's a lifestyle. That's a relationship. That's what discipleship is. I've got four different stages here that deal with discipleship, okay, which is then going to be your legacy, okay? Step number one, the first one. This one is selection. Go ahead and write that down. This one is selection. This is where you should be choosy, okay? This is where you need to be choosy, okay? Let me give you just one word of advice. Okay, if you're looking for a disciple, if you're looking for someone to mentor and something like that, you can't just walk up to somebody, throw them in a headlock, and say, you're going to be my disciple, whether you like it or not. It's not going to work. Okay? It's not going to work. All right? First and foremost, you need to listen to God when he's telling you who you should mentor. Who should be your disciple? Okay, you need to listen to God. You need to keep your ears open. You need to pray about it. Amazing, we're in 21 days of prayer, and I'm talking up here talking about prayer. You need to pray about it. You're saying, well, I don't know that many people. Okay, that's all right. One, you need to get out and maybe get involved in a small group so you can learn more people, get to know more people. I said, and then, or two, you can, once again, pray and have God bring that person to you. Okay? God will, I guarantee you that if you start praying, God, bring me somebody to mentor, so that I can pass on what you've given me to the next generation. He'll do that. He'll do that. In the Bible, he's done that many, many times. I've got a few examples of that here for you. One of them, that I have in here can be found in the book of Numbers, chapter 27. I don't have the scripture for these guys to show you, but I'll read it for you real quick. In chapter 27, we're talking about Moses. When he is at the end of his life, he has not been allowed to go into the promised land because he disobeyed God and what God wanted him to do earlier. And God told him, he said, since you did this, he said, I'm not going to allow you to step foot into the promised land. He said, I'll allow you to see it. He said, but I'm not going to allow you to step foot into it. Now, I know if that would have been me and I've been leading all of these Israelites that many years and everything, wandering in the wilderness because of disobedience and everything else, I think if God came down and told me, he said, guess what, you're not going to be allowed to go in there, I'd probably throw a hissy fit. Just being real, I would probably throw a fit, all right, and say, what do you mean? I have led these stiff-necked people for years and years and years. I've done what you told me and called it, you know. Then God would have to slap me upside the head and say, yeah, but I told you this and you didn't do it. And I was like, okay, God. And he said, what you're going to do, he said, you're going to call someone else who'll take your place. He said, I'm going to let you see the promised land, but he said, I'm going to have you call your replacement. In the book of Numbers, it said, chapter 27, verse 19, I believe. So the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the spirit of leadership. That's important. And lay your hands on him. Then it takes him on and has him proclaim Joshua's leadership to the rest of the people of Israel so that they will understand that he is Moses' successor. Okay, so God told him who to choose, and he did. Okay, and then he showed Moses the promised land and everything, and then Moses passed away and went to be with his elders. Okay. So we've got Moses choosing Joshua. Then we've got, in 1 Kings, we've got Elijah and Elisha. Okay, and then your notes here, 1 Kings 19:19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Okay, so prior to this, God had said, you know, guess what? Elijah, he had been out, he had been the major prophet for the people of Israel. Okay, he had been the major prophet for the people of Israel. He had done all kinds of things. He had gone up against 400 of pagan prophets and everything else, and God came down, consumed them with, you know, consumed his offering and showing that he was God. And then Elijah had all those prophets put to death and everything else. He had done a lot of different things for the name of the Lord. And then God once again was telling him, it's like, you know, Elijah was having a little pity party. Because he was afraid of the king's wife, Jezebel, and so he was hiding in the wilderness. And God came back and talked to him at that point in time again and said, guess what? You're supposed to go to talk to this guy, go talk to this guy, go talk to this guy. And then go talk to this guy named Elisha, because Elisha is going to be your replacement. Once again, God telling him that he's going to be replaced. All right? I think if I were Elijah, I'd be saying, replaced? Why do I need replaced? Well, God had other plans for him, and God had plans for Elisha at the same time. So we pick that up there where Elijah went and placed his mantle on Elisha's shoulders and called him to be his disciple. Okay? Let's go to Jesus' example dealing with selection in Matthew chapter 4. We'll pick it up at verse 18, where it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting nets into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Okay? So Jesus was very choosy who he picked. He knew exactly who he wanted to be his disciples. So your first section there, be choosy. He's under selection. Absolutely. You should be praying about it. You should be listening for the voice of God to tell you, who's going to be my, who am I going to share with? Who am I going to impart with? Okay? Just remember, the headlock, not a good idea. It's probably not going to work. Okay? Number two, impartation. Impartation. Spend time. Impartation. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And this is just one example of when Jesus was with his disciples. And it's towards the end of his time here on earth. Matthew chapter 26. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me. Okay? Understand this. Get this. Jesus was imparting some of his time, some of his wisdom with his disciples. He's like, guess what? You know, they were there spending time together, eating. And he says, while they were at the table, you know, he said, hey, one of you guys is going to betray me. Okay? As I'm looking at this, you know, I see this and it's like, oh, okay. They were all there at the table eating and everything else. Jesus was spending time with his disciples. He was developing a relationship with them. Okay, well, like I say, it wasn't just a lecture or a lesson or anything else. He was living life with them. They were spending time day in, day out with his disciples. All the time, he was imparting to them this whole time. He was not only giving them words of wisdom, but they were watching how he lived his life. They watched him when he went aside from everybody to pray. They watched him as he did miracles, as he referred to his Father for all of his power, for everything that he did. He referred to his Father first and then to them. You need to listen to what the Spirit tells you. Okay, as you're mentoring someone, you need to listen to what the Spirit's telling you. Okay, because there may be things that the Spirit's going to reveal to you about that person that you're mentoring or what's going on in their life. I'm going to go to John chapter 12 real quick and give you an example of Jesus doing this himself. When Jesus was talking to his disciples, he said this in verse 49, for I did not speak of my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I've spoken. I know that his commands lead to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Okay? Jesus, listen to what he said, what the Father said. Okay? Don't you think that should be what we do when we're mentoring people? Okay, sounds like a good plan to me. If it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me, guaranteed. All right? So make sure that you're listening to what the Spirit tells you when you're giving words of wisdom, when you're spending time with somebody, okay, in a mentorship role. Number three. Confrontation. Confrontation. Be willing. Okay? And I put be willing there because you need to be willing to confront somebody. Okay? How many of you in here are human? Okay, I see a lot of you that have your hands down. Are y'all aliens or something? All right. If you are human, guess what? You have a will of your own. All right? Sometimes that will lines up with other folks. Sometimes it doesn't. I've found that there are basically two types of people. Okay? The first type. We have strong-willed people. Okay? Strong-willed people need to learn restraint. Okay? Strong-willed people need to learn restraint. Okay? We're going to go back here to Mark chapter 9, and where Jesus confronted his disciples. Okay? And he said, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had been arguing about who was the greatest among them. All right? Realize these were all, Jesus' disciples were all pretty much strong-willed people. Okay? And strong-willed people need to learn restraint. Jesus was not above confronting those guys. He confronted, they got in the house. They were probably preparing for dinner or something like that. And he said, hey, guys, I heard you arguing on the road out here. What are we arguing about? And like all of our kids, they said, nothing. Nothing. Those of you that are parents should recognize that response all the time. Nothing. Nothing. Who, us? Argue? Never. Okay, because they knew that Jesus knew, okay? And they knew that what they were arguing about, probably shouldn't have been. Okay, so you've got to be willing to confront those strong-willed people, and you need to teach them some restraint, okay? Strong-willed person, if somebody does something wrong, a strong-willed person is that person that says, oh, well, we need to go take care of that. We need to go take, I saw it out in the parking lot. Somebody parked on too close to the line. I need to go talk to that person. And I'm going to tell them they need to get in the middle. Not they get too close there, they can't use that parking lot. Relax. Relax. Okay, and I'm telling on myself here a little bit because I have this tendency to be a strong-willed person. Okay, I have the tendency to be this person that it's like, oh, well, you know, those lines are there for a reason. You better get in them. And you better be right in the middle. Or I'm going to get my bullet out and I'll put it in my gun, Barney. Okay, you know, it's like, no, put it away. Keep it away. Learn restraint, because guess what? Parking in between those lines, in the grand scheme of things, that is not going to keep you out of heaven. Okay, and so as such, guess what? I need to relax a little bit. I need to chill out. And I need to concentrate on things that are important to the kingdom. Okay? So a strong-willed person needs to learn restraint. Okay. Second type of person is the weak-willed person. Okay, the weak-willed person needs to be sometimes encouraged to move forward. Oh, I can't be a greeter out there. I don't know if I can smile that much. I don't know. I can't step out and shake somebody's hand. If I see somebody new, they're going to think I'm weird if I come up and say hello to them and try to initiate a conversation. I can't do that. Okay, this is when God wants you to have a cattle prod and say, yes, you can. They need a little encouragement to step forward. Okay, they need to encourage. They need to be encouraged, not with a cattle prod. Okay, but they need to be encouraged that, yeah, they can do that. That people aren't going to look funny at you if you walk up to them and say, hi, my name is Rich. How long have you been coming to New Song? Guess what? That's a safe way, and I learned that from Pastor Justin. That's a safe way to, because we're at three services, and it's hard to get to know everybody. And so when somebody comes in, you may not know them, and they may have been coming here for 2 years. And rather than open your mouth and insert your whole leg and say, are you new here? You say, no. Hey, how long have you been coming to New Song? They'll say, oh, I've been here 2 years. Oh, hey, I must have missed you. We must have missed in services or something like that. And you can initiate a conversation that way. It's a great thing. Okay? It is a great thing. So, anyone can do that. Okay? So sometimes we may need to encourage that person to move forward. Okay? That's what the weak-willed person. But you need to be willing. Like this one here, the third section, you need to be willing to confront both types of people. All right? Number four, commitment. Commitment. You need to demonstrate it. Okay? Not only as a mentor do you need to demonstrate your commitment to that person, because chances are that person that you are mentoring is going to need you at weird hours, at weird times. Different times when you're not ready for it. And that's okay. So you need to demonstrate your commitment to them. They also need to demonstrate their commitment to you as being their mentor. Let's take a look at what Elisha did. 1 Kings 19:21 says, so Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment and cooked the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Those are the other people that were there plowing with him. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. That's a pretty big commitment, don't you think? Killed his oxen, burned the plow, had a barbecue for everybody that was working out in the field that day, and left and followed Elijah. Alexander the Great, okay, there's a story that when he landed on the shores of the Persian Empire, him and his Greek army, one of his generals reported to him, said, okay, what are we doing here? He said, first thing we're going to do is, he said, we're going to burn the boats. General's like, why would we do that? And he said, because there's only two ways we're gonna leave here. One, we'll either leave here dead, or we will leave here in the boats of our enemies. That's commitment. That's commitment. You need to show that kind of commitment. As a mentor, you need to show that kind of commitment to your mentee. As a mentee, you need to show that kind of commitment to your mentor. Sometimes they're going to tell you something that isn't that comfortable, that may cause you to squirm just a little bit. And that's okay. You need to show a level of commitment to your mentor. You need to burn the boats. I found this quote from Billy Graham about legacy, and it says, the greatest legacy you can pass on to your children and grandchildren is not your money or the things you've accumulated in life. The greatest legacy you can pass on to them is the legacy of your character and your faith. Is that what you're passing on? Is that what you're passing on? This is my time to step on your toes a little bit. If you are one of our seasoned members, if you're showing any white like this or anything else like this, this is my time to step on your toes a little bit. This is also my time to step on your toes if you're not one of those seasoned ones. But what are you passing on? What is your legacy? If you were to go back and if you were to step outside yourself and look at it, what is your legacy? Because don't be fooled. Every one of us is going to leave a legacy of one kind or another. Every one of us will. Every one of us. What do you want that legacy to be? Do you want that legacy to be a godly legacy? Do you want that legacy to be like one of these that we've just read about here in the Bible? Or do you want that legacy to be just continuing it on with the way that you're going on your own path? Okay. Living according to the world standards. And I'm okay with that. Because that's a legacy as well. Or are you going to plan on being following the Great Commission? Jesus' last words, it says, guess what? He's called you to go into all the world and make disciples. Is that going to be your legacy? That, yep. Hey, I knew that. I knew Rich. And he was all about helping other people learn about Jesus Christ and what Jesus did for each and every one of us. Is that what you want your legacy to be? Today's your time. Today's your day to make a choice. Today's that day. Because like I said, you're going to leave a legacy, or you are leaving a legacy. What do you want it to be? Let's all bow our heads for a moment. Going to ask you a couple things. First and foremost, maybe you don't even know what this discipleship and all this legacy stuff's even about, because you don't know that Jesus has called you. Guess what? Jesus is calling you. He wants you to be one of his disciples. Bible says that Jesus would have none perish, but that all would come to salvation through him. He would have you choose his way, which leads to life, as opposed to the world's way, which leads to death. So maybe you're in here and you're realizing that, yeah, it's time that I choose Jesus. And if that's you, if you're ready to say, yeah, Jesus, I'm ready to give my life over, let you control it, and the Lord to let you start discipling me, then I want you to go ahead and slip your hand up right where you're at. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to make you come forward or anything else. I see those hands. You can go ahead and put them back down. I see those hands. Anybody else that says, yeah, today is my day. I'm going to give my life over to Jesus, and it's time to be a disciple of his. First, I'm going to pray right now for you. You can agree with me right now in your heart. It's no magic formula, no special words or anything, but you can agree with me in your heart. And this goes like something like this. Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart to you. I lived my life my way for long enough. Lord, I'm called on you to make me your disciple. Lord, I give my life over to you. I trust you for my salvation, and I thank you for my salvation. Lord, change me. Work through me starting today and for the rest of my life. I give it over to you. I thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name. Now, maybe that's not you. Maybe you've been a believer for a long time. But you're deciding that, guess what? I need to find somebody. I need to find somebody that I can pass on my knowledge of Jesus, my relationship with Jesus. I can pass that on to another generation. I can pass that on to somebody else. Maybe that's you. If that's you, then go ahead and put your hand up. And I want to pray for you as well. That, guess what? God is calling you. God is calling you to be a mentor. God is calling you to look for a disciple. So let's go ahead and pray again. Lord, thank you for those that raised their hands and said, yes, I'm being called to be a mentor. Lord, I pray a special blessing on them. Lord, I pray a special impartation of your Spirit on each and every one of these people. Lord, I thank you for them raising the hand and making that choice. Father, reveal to them who they are called to mentor, who they are called to impart into. Lord, let them follow after your words, after your still small voice that tells them, choose him, choose her. Be a mentor to that person. Lord, watch over them, bless them, give them the words to say, give them the courage to step out and take that step. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you're doing in each and every one of our lives today. Lord, I thank you for my New Song family. I pray blessings upon them, Lord, and I just thank you for all that they're doing and, Lord, all that they're going to do for you and in your name. Lord, I give you the praise and the glory that are due to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
As a church, it's our honor to play a small part in what God is doing through your life, and we would love to continue on that journey with you. To find out what your next steps could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to mynsc.org/contact. Thank you to all of you who consistently give, serve, and pray. You are the ones who God is using to make a difference in our community as we live out our mission of leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Thank you for watching. We hope you tune in next week.